KFSR presents the Fresno State Sports Report, your inside connection to everything sports at Fresno State, featuring Eddie Hughes and Fresno State Director of Athletics, Jim Bartko, 90.7 KFSR.
Good morning and welcome. I'm Eddie Hughes. My co-host Jim Bartko couldn't be with us today, but he was on hand this week to introduce new women's water polo coach Natalie Benson, a two-time Olympian. And we had a chance to catch up with Natalie right after the announcement. Here's that interview.
We're here with Natalie Benson, new head coach of the Fresno State women's water polo team, brand new program here on campus. Natalie, how are you doing?
Doing great.
First of all, tell us what attracted you to the job at Fresno State.
A big one for me is shared values. I found that the institution valued a lot of the same things that I did, you know, hard work, winning the right way, attracting student athletes that both want to win but also want to do well in the classroom. So shared values is a big one. Starting a program was something that would be extremely professionally exciting and something that even before I got into collegiate coaching, people would ask me what I wanted to do, and starting a program was always one of those things that was up there. I didn't really want to take over for someone else and have to either fill someone's shoes or fix certain things that I maybe didn't agree with and fight that battle. So that's what really attracted me to the school. Personally, I'm from Southern California originally. I have two young children, so getting them back to where their grandparents are was very important to me. Getting back into our community of friends and family was important. And so both personally and professionally, it's a very exciting decision.
And you come to Fresno State from Marist, where you were the head coach there. Talk about just the differences in, you know, being on the East Coast as opposed to the West Coast now in the water polo community.
Water polo is very similar to lacrosse on the East. It's big in California and it's growing elsewhere, but it's still not to the level where California is in terms of facilities, competition opportunities, the quantity and quality of coaching. And so there are a lot of roadblocks just geographically for the East, because there may be good programs in Annapolis and another one in Greenwich and then another one in Virginia, but then it takes 4 hours or 5 hours just to play a game. And so geographically it's very difficult, whereas, you know, where I coach club in Southern California, there are maybe 10 clubs in a 20-mile radius. So I think that's why water polo might be a little bit more successful in California for that reason. But it's definitely growing in the East. I'd like to see it grow more and continue to grow. And that was part of the reason why I went out there, was to kind of stir the pot a little bit and, you know, make people who are complacent work a little bit harder to be successful and make those student athletes that were playing out there understand that they are quality student athletes and that they can play the game at a high level and to hold themselves to a higher standard. And so I think I achieved that, and now moving on into to different opportunities, but I'll miss those kids. They're great kids. Obviously, it's the reason why I coach, is to work with young ladies and to help them figure their things out in these very formative years of college and help them become great people. So I'll miss them a lot, but I know that they're a lot better off.
Obviously, leaving the kids that played for you there at Marist, probably the hardest part of making the change to Fresno State. But talk about just the draw of creating your own program from scratch and kind of putting your fingerprints all over it.
I think it's important for the sport that this school, that Fresno State, does well in water polo. I'm a fan. I'm a water polo fan first and foremost. And so I want to see our sport successful. And so regardless of if I'm involved or not, I want to see it grow and do well. And so I feel like that this is a responsibility for me, a very important responsibility, to not only grow the sport by having a successful collegiate program, but grow the sport by having this untapped area of the valley become what it should be, which is the equivalent of what Southern California is right now. You know, we have pools, we have coaches, we have year-round training and competing opportunities, and so it's just making it happen. And I think this might be the spark that kind of ignites that fire and gets it going and gets kids fired up to play.
As someone who's from the area and familiar with water polo, my wife played at San Diego State. I know her senior year, she had like 7 girls on the San Diego State team were from the Valley. Mm-hmm. Talk about just the talent level of the Valley.
Throughout all of my experiences, not only coaching club, but coaching against kids from the Valley and coaching through the ODP program, I've been very impressed with these kids. They're blue-collar kids, they're hardworking kids, they're polite, they are appreciative of opportunities, and they take advantage of those opportunities. And I've always been, you know, hey, that's a really great kid. I like that kid. And it's been kind of obviously a generalization, but most of the kids I've met from this area have been exceptional kids. And I think that speaks for their families and for the community as a whole. And so why should they have to go somewhere else? Why can't they just stay home, especially if they want to stay home? You know, but not really having water polo in the area collegiately has forced them to go elsewhere to play at a high level. And so now they can stay home and do it in their backyard.
Is that one of your strategies coming in as far as recruiting, to keep more kids at home and give them that opportunity? If they want to stay local, they can come play at Fresno State?
Absolutely. You know, obviously I want to be competitive, but I think that the kids from the area appreciate and understand where they're from, love where they're from, and will fight hard to represent their hometown. And that there's a lot of value in that. You have to, you know, you have to love where you are in order to want to fight for it, you know? And yeah. So if you just go somewhere just because that's where you had to go to school to play, you're not fully emotionally invested in that process. And so keeping kids home who really respect and appreciate what the Valley stands for and what Fresno State stands for is really important. And I think that that will add value to anybody from out of state or out of the area who comes in and may not fully understand what this place is about.
What do you look for when you're recruiting a kid? Is talent number one? Is character number one? Just talk about sort of that mix.
If I'm at a tournament, obviously the first thing I see is their talent. I see their ability to see open water, their defensive awareness, their just basic technical skills, their balance, how aggressive they are. I like to see their style. And, you know, like there's one kid I recruited last year, just she just plays like she has something to lose every single time she plays. And she has this huge chip on her shoulder, and I love it. You know, and it's one of those things where it's like, I'm not going to have to put the fight in you. You know, I might have to take it out of you a little bit, but I don't have to, you know, and it's our mascot, the bulldog, you know, I want you to be a little bulldog, you know, and so it all works out. So those are the kind of kids I look at. But if they're an exceptionally talented kid, but maybe they don't do well in the classroom, their parents are overly involved and doing all the talking for them, and it's kind of like, right, well, who wants this? Who is this for? Is this for the parents, or is this for the student athletes? So seeing a student who has initiative, drive, they want to be somewhere, and they want to contribute to a team, and they have a vision for themselves, they have goals for themselves. So talent obviously is seen first, but character, that's the difference maker, that's the tiebreaker. So if there's two kids of equal skill, or even one kid that's slightly better, the kid with the better character will be the one I choose.
It's the last day of June 2016 right now. Your first competition is in spring of 2018. What's coming up in the meantime, in between, from now to then? What do you have to do?
I think a big one is, you know, immersing myself in this community, not only the water polo community, but the Fresno State community, the community of the Valley. Getting people excited and keeping people excited about the start of the sport. And so it's going to be a little hard to keep people excited when we don't have a team to watch this year, but we're going to find other ways to engage the community. Camps, clinics, things like that, to bring the local kids in, even just kids from the area, in to learn and to help grow the sport. And then by getting them on campus, they'll also be able to see the facilities and see if they can imagine themselves here. And when that discussion gets started, they'll have some experience both on campus and being coached by our staff. So that's one of the advantages that we have with having a little time off, is to do it the right way and to build it up and to not have to rush into something and, you know, throw a team out there that maybe wouldn't be prepared or wouldn't have the best outcome, because a lot of the kids that would be coming in this year have already committed elsewhere. So I think the school did it right by giving that cushion, by putting that cushion in, because then we can go through the full recruiting process and bring in the right kids.
It was announced this week that you'll be competing in the Gold Coast Conference. During your press conference, you said you expect to be able to compete at a high level in that conference pretty quickly. Just talk about your thoughts there.
Facilities-wise, we have a fantastic facility. I think, you know, obviously geographically, being close, obviously Stockton is a little bit north, San Diego's pretty far north, LMU's in LA. It obviously caters to the type of person and where they want to be. So I think it'd be fairly easy to kind of filter those kids out based on where they want to be. But facilities-wise, coaching staff-wise, opportunity, and just like the excitement of something new, and hey, I could be the part of the beginning of this and really set the tone for this program. I think that's a really neat opportunity for a lot of young athletes, is to not just go be part of be another spoke in the wheel, but be part of the system. But now you can actually start something and say, hey, I was one of the trailblazers. I was the first one, you know, I got that started, we got that started, and that's a really special thing.
Yeah, it should be pretty easy to become the school's all-time leading scorer for some
very
of these
quickly,
early players.
I know, right? Yeah, goalie blocks, I'm the goalie leader, and it's like, you're the only goalie, yeah. I actually thought about that. I'm like, hey, it's going to be pretty funny. There's a first season, 1 year of season stats, and you're going to have the single season assist leader, single season career, and everything else. So, yeah, that'll be pretty fun.
Is that a big part of your pitch to recruits, especially early on, to come here and be the first?
Absolutely, and it takes a unique personality to want to do that, but it's also going to take a unique personality to want to be successful at a new school. So I'm going to definitely try to get that out of the kids and build their perspective a little bit as well, because some of them will see, well, that's an established program and I can do this and this is what they've done before, but why can't you do that here and you can be the first one and everybody will remember you, and it'll be really, really cool. And it's just one of those things where I remember some of the first women at UCLA that played, and they set the tone, they set the standard, and that's who I looked up to, and that's who I respected, and tradition continues. And so why can't we do that here?
How does your experience being on an unbeaten UCLA team, being on the Olympic team, how does that all translate to the coaching field?
It's funny, because a lot of people think, using extreme words, but that I'm somewhat elitist in that way, where, you know, well, yeah, I was an Olympian, so therefore this is how it must be. I get it. Like, I understand that, you know, we're not the USOC and that we're not, you know, a huge, 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 you know, multi-million dollar, like, crazy, crazy athletic department. But we are a very solid athletic department, and we have wonderful facilities. And this facility right now is better than the facility I played in when I was in school. You know, they've since built a new one, but I didn't have a locker room. You know, I had to carry my towel and my suit around, and we won an NCAA championship. You know, it's just stuff like that where the sport has grown so much and the opportunities presented are huge to these kids. And so, you know, I see what I was able to recruit, the level of athlete I was able to recruit out at Marist in a 6-lane, shallow, deep pool. And I imagine the same athletes coming here and being like, this is pretty sweet. You know, so I know I believe in my ability to recruit. I believe in my ability to coach. And so now it's just finding the kids that want to play for me, believe in what I believe in, and then ultimately we'll have success because of that mutual belief.
For fans out there, for listeners who haven't seen live water polo before, describe a little bit of just how action-packed it is and what it's like to see a water polo game. What other sport would you compare it to, maybe?
Well, I just want to put this out there that there's no horses, okay? There are no horses, no mallets. It's not like, you know, London or anything. We're not playing polo. We're playing water polo. And then, yeah, that's the running joke. I always usually say we drown a lot of horses, but so there's no horses. But anyways, we're treading water. You can't touch the bottom. The game itself is very similar to basketball. So if you were to watch a basketball game and watch a water polo game and then try to fit basketball strategy into watching the water polo match, you'll actually see it. You'll see drives. You'll see fighting to put the ball to the middle, get the ball closest to the net so somebody can lay it in. Inside-outside attack, picks, screens, drives, counters, you know, outlet passes and you know, transition counterattacks, which is very similar to just transition in basketball. So the sport itself, from a strategy standpoint, is very similar to basketball, but it introduces components of, obviously, it looks like a soccer field. But that's really the only similarity it has to soccer, is the fact that we have goals and goalkeepers. Everybody plays offense. Everybody plays defense. There's no, like, midfielder or backfielder or an attacker. It's everybody plays offense. Everybody plays defense. But then components of hockey, where if you have a major foul, you're excluded and you have to sit in the penalty box for 20 seconds. You're allowed 3 of those. You've been naughty and you sit in the box. And then also wrestling, swimming, you know, there's the game within the game within the game. You know, you have to be fit enough to swim and tread water and, you know, stay alive, literally, in the water. But then you have to learn the strategy and the technique of the game. But then also you have the gamesmanship component of it, where you have somebody grabbing you and pushing you underwater and wrestling with you, and you have to learn how to spin out of holds and you know, protect your fingers and, you know, make sure that you stay healthy everywhere. So it's a fun game. It's an exciting game. It's action-packed. It's approximately an hour long, 4 quarters, you know, for those parents out there. You know, when you get your kids in water polo, you sit there for an hour and you're done. You don't have, you know, four-hour soccer games and softball games and things like that. So it's a fun game. Kids are in the pool. It's a lot of fun. They bounce around. And there's a lot of really great life lessons taught through it as well, where it's physical and it's aggressive and there's somebody in your face and you're going to get beat and you're going to get beat up. But sometimes you're going to feel strong and you're going to feel fit. And it's a very humbling game, but it's also a very empowering game.
Is it exciting for you to see all the media out here this week?
Yeah. Honestly, it was like Twitter tornado. When it got announced, I was a little uncomfortable, actually, because I'm not like super used to, I'm a team person. I'm not an individual sport person. So if we get recognition, it's usually, you know, this, our team did X and Y and Z. And so to have all these, you know, my picture tweeted out everywhere, I'm just like, oh my God, this is a little bit much. But seeing the feedback and seeing the people who would retweet it and seeing the comments that were made and seeing how positive it was, I'm like, this is a very unique place. And this is a place where you can see yourself fitting in, a place that I'm excited to come and really immerse myself in the community and become a member of the community. And it's just those types of values are always great for me. Growing up in Southern California, I always thought, you know, I should be in the Midwest. You know, I belong there. And so this is a little slice of the Midwest in California. So you get the best of both worlds.
Yeah, I think that's a good description. And we saw just recently the USA and Australia water polo exhibition here on campus. Standing room only crowd, a lot of fanfare. Is that encouraging to you for what the atmosphere could be like at your games coming up?
Absolutely. You know, there have been games for the senior team that we've played where very few people show up, and games where they sell out. And obviously in an Olympic year, they're going to sell out. But I think anytime you come here with a senior team, even if it's not an Olympic year, it would sell out and you have the same level of excitement. And that's what I've noticed from this community. And people who are super excited to be involved in the sport or from this community, and they do a fantastic job. For example, there are three team managers from Hanford, and one of them I've been working with for the last 5 or 6 years. They're exceptional. One of them showed up today. They buy wholeheartedly into what they're doing, and they believe in you, and they're supportive, and they're just great people. And so I know that this community is going to rally behind this program, and it's going to be really exciting.
Natalie Benson, thanks for joining us today, and welcome to Fresno State.
Thanks very much. Thanks for your time.
That was Natalie Benson, the first ever women's water polo coach at Fresno State. In other news this week, Fresno State coaches were caravanning around the valley on the Bulldog Express, meeting fans all over various cities throughout the valley. Our Kevin Kirsten caught up with basketball coach Jamie White and Rodney Terry to talk Bulldogs hoops. First off, let's hear what Jamie White had to say.
We're here with Jamie White, Fresno State head coach for women's basketball. How are you doing today, Coach White?
Really good. It's warming up.
It's warming up, but it's probably AC in that beautiful Bulldog Express. You guys have been rolling around. You just came from Hanford, Superior Dairy, some ice cream, right?
Right. We cooled down with some ice cream and jumped in there, and it's been really fun. We've had a great day so far.
I just want to get into next year's roster. What do you feel is going to be different from last year's roster to this year's roster?
Well, we had six seniors graduate, and those six seniors played quite a bit, so it's definitely going to be a little bit of a rebuilding. We've got six new kids coming in, five of which can play. One is a transfer from the University of Utah, so she'll have to sit a year. We've got Bago Fazdavalos back, so we're excited about her. And, you know, she was the leading shot blocker in the country, so it's nice to have that person on your team. It helps our defense.
Oh, yeah.
And then we have a transfer, Tori Jacobs, who set out last year that'll be eligible to play right away. We're excited about her coming in and looking at for good things from her.
Yeah, you mentioned Bago Fazdavalos, and that actually led me into the next question. You said she's leading shot blocker, so how do you feel she stacks up nationally as a shot blocker? Is she the one still this year?
Absolutely. You know, the reason she is such a good shot blocker is because of her speed and quickness. I mean, she obviously has length, but she does a great job. She's always in help. She's always mirroring the ball. So if we get beat on the perimeter, they're coming right at her. We've played a lot of zone. We're going to try to get a little bit better at our man-to-man, but even in zone, she's just, people got to get by her to get to the basket. So she's grown and gotten a lot better in the last couple of years. I expect her to be even better now. We lose Tony Smith, who is an all-conference in the post also. So we're going to have to find somebody else to fill that spot. But I think we expect the same thing from Bago. And she about averaged a double-double. So she'll help us in rebounding and scoring as well.
Yeah, it's nice to have her back with so much experience and still being so young. And also, you feel like she's going to step up into the leadership position, because not only could she be a leader on the court, but she also, didn't she have a 4.0 last year, academically? So how do you feel as her being a role model for players coming in?
Yeah, I don't know that I could ask for a better role model in the fact that she takes academics very seriously. She has a great motor, works extremely hard, nice kid, really positive, really easy to coach, and that's been nice to be able to work with her. And you've seen her get better, leaps and bounds get better, so we're excited just to see what one more year will do for her.
How are you going to move on from the heartbreaking loss that you had with just in a couple seconds last year? Like, do you feel like that's going to feed them this year, you know, and make them hungry and feed the fire, you know, to punch through and get to the next stage?
Right. Well, I definitely know it will feed the coaching staff. Because we still have a pretty bad taste in our mouth from that. I mean, it was just one of those things. And you see it happen all over the country, but when it happens to you, you're kind of like heartbroken. Mm-hmm. So I think our kids will be hungry for that. Again, our seniors, our five seniors, I mean, they all averaged good minutes. And so, you know, the return of Bago, and then we have Tori Jacobs, who's the Minnesota transfer. She'll be eligible this year at the point guard spot. Great, great player. And then our freshman all-team kid, Bree Kanishka, will all be back. So that's the chunk of our experience coming back. Now we got to have some of those new kids. So they're fresh. They kind of don't have that bad taste in their mouth, although they were there and witnessed it. So for anybody watching that game, you probably are a little bitter and hungry for the next one. So I think it'll be good fuel for the fire and help us really stay focused and realize you got to play the whole game. You know, we were up 15 in that game. We felt like we had it, but at the end of the day, you got to play all 40 minutes, and I felt like there were times when we didn't. So
that's so important in sports, to play really all the way to the zeros. I mean, you even seen it in the NBA with Golden State this year. They had the series. You thought they had it locked up.
They go quarter to quarter.
And now all of a sudden,
scoring switches. Yeah.
So it just shows, you know, how important it is. Like you said, do you take the core of your team aside and have a different talk with them than you would with the new players coming in, to say you're responsible for a little bit more than the new kids coming in, just to show them the right way and, you know, get them on the right path?
Well, ever since I got there, you know, I got there 2 years ago and everybody expected me to, you know, and I think new coach comes in, expects you to bring in your own kids or get rid of people, and we didn't do that. We just said, look, we're going to start with the kids that are here, you know, and that should motivate you to work hard and find your role on this team. And then as those incoming kids, they have an opportunity, especially this year's incoming kids, because we lost those five seniors. Those kids have an opportunity. Bree Kanishka, our freshman, she averaged more minutes than anybody, even those five seniors, just because she was consistent and she's a hard worker. She didn't make a lot of mistakes. She didn't foul a lot. And so she got the opportunity. She didn't always put numbers up, but as a freshman, you can't put that pressure on a freshman. So I expect it to be very similar in that we're going to have a little bit of a nucleus with good experience, but then there's got to be somebody that wants playing time. Mm-hmm. And we've got to find that, and not just for this year, for next year too.
Yeah, it gives them a special opportunity to put their own stamp, to emerge. You know, someone could come out of the dark, you know, that you're not expecting. So,
and it's a good recruiting thing too. You know, a lot of kids want to come to a program where there's an opportunity to play right away, and we've been selling that. And with Bree playing, I think we've proven that we're ready for whoever's the best is going to play.
Speaking of recruiting, you're going around in this Bulldog caravan. You know, you're hitting whole Central Valley. Do you feel like this is a double-edged sword? You know, you're trying to accomplish two things, maybe some recruiting, just getting your faces out there in the community, and also showing the community that you care about the Central Valley and the athletes that are coming up in here, and they have a place to go in Fresno State, you know, where they could win and also excel in the classroom.
Absolutely. I mean, for us, women's basketball in the Central Valley is pretty good. And I don't think we have to look too far. I mean, we've had a handful of kids. We missed on some kids early, the Brooke Johnson from Hanford and the Kiara Worry kid from Fresno City. But as we have continued to recruit and look at those kids, I mean, they love basketball, women's basketball in this area. And so we're really excited about that. We put in a team camp and an individual camp. Our numbers were doubled. So we had lots of kids from the Valley in those. We had 30 teams at team camp. It was very successful. And that's a good way for us to give back, but also to get to know people in the Valley. So this, I think, is just another way for us to get out, show people that we care, show people that we appreciate them. And same thing with our camps, and same thing with anything we do in the community and with those coaches and with those teams, that we just appreciate them and that we're watching. We don't want to lose kids from the Valley.
Coach White, thank you so much for your time. I appreciate it, and good luck out there this year.
Yeah, no problem.
Thank you.
That was Fresno State women's basketball coach Jamie White. And now we bring you men's basketball coach Rodney Terry.
Head coach of Fresno State men's basketball team, Rodney Terry. How are you doing today, Rodney?
I'm doing great, Kevin. Thanks for having me.
I actually literally was following the caravan up here on the freeways. I was just wondering, we come off of a great basketball season last year. You made it to the dance. You didn't go as far as we wanted to, but hey, getting to the dance in quite a long time. How do you feel about last year transitioning over to this year? We lost a couple key people, so how do you feel like we're going to keep that ball rolling?
Well, you know what? One, I think, you know, anytime you get a chance to get the postseason play, you know, it's something that we talked about from day one. That's part of our goals, you know, that's to be a part of a Mountain West championship and have a chance to go to the NCAA tournament. And, you know, our team was able to do that a year ago, and they carried that momentum over into the spring. We had great spring workouts with our returning guys, and, you know, hopefully we'll carry that over to the summer. We start our workouts in about a week or so with our guys coming back to campus. I think they're going to be hungry and excited about moving forward and getting better. But, you know, we've got a great blend with this next year's team. We've got some older players. We lost, you know, you alluded to three senior guards that we lost this past year. And, you know, we had Jerron Hopkins sitting out, who will be a junior for us this year. Be a really good player for us. Deshaun Taylor was sitting out. He'll be a sophomore for us this next year. Along with our incoming freshmen, we got a really good group of freshman kids coming in. You know, Will McDowell White, you know, is a 6'5 point guard, has elite level vision. You know, Daryl comes in as his brother, Daryl White, comes in and can really shoot the basketball as a two. You got Jacob Holland, who's a junior college guy that's also a 2-3 kind of guy for us, an older player as well. Johnny Mack Williams, 6'5 guard coming in, big wing, can really score the ball, can defend. And then we got local talent in Bryson Williams, who's from Roosevelt High School and has a lot of upside. I left out Nate Grimes, who sat out a year ago as well and will play for us this year as well.
Yeah, you mentioned local talent. As part of this caravan that's going around Central Valley and even a little further out, do you feel like that's an important part of keeping a program at an elite level, like just getting in touch with the community and getting out there and showing that you care about the players and also, you know, showing the families that they're going to be well taken care of coming to Fresno State?
Well, our recruit motto has always been from the time that I've been here that we want to recruit inward out, not outside in. I mean, you know, and if we're able to keep the best local talent here and, you know, attract those guys that want to stay home, that's what we try to do first. You know, then we work our way outside the state. But, you know, in the Valley area, in California for that matter, we want the best players in California to want to come and stay in the state of California. And then we start working ourselves outside from that point.
And we were talking about how we finished so strong last year and getting advanced. You said that the team's hungry. And you feel like that also not really puts pressure, but leaves the players with a sense of urgency to, like, keep it going.
Yeah, we got a good international flavor. I also left out Rojas, who's going to be a 6'10 freshman for us from Brazil as well as an incoming freshman. But no, I think, again, you know, we got a chance to get a taste of postseason play. You know, you alluded to the fact that we weren't there very long. You know, it's not enough just to try to get there. We all know how hard it is to get the postseason play. You know, the best teams in the country have to earn their way into the top 64 teams in the dance. So it's not a given right just because you're at a BCS school that you're going to be in the tournament. You got to go and take care of your business, you know, all season long. But I think we'll be excited about it. We've got a great non-conference schedule. I think one that's going to prepare us for conference play. I think our league's going to be what it's been. You know, our established teams in our league are still going to be really good. San Diego State's going to be really good. New Mexico got two first-team guys back and maybe the preseason player of the year and Elijah Brown back. So it'll still be really good night in and night out. You know, we like to think that we have good young talent coming into our program. We also have returning experience in Paul Watts and Karachi Ito, Cullen Russo, you know, they Terrell Carter. They've been through the battles as well. And, you know, so we got a good blend with our team this year.
Yeah, you mentioned Ito, and do you feel like the players that are returning are going to be a very important part in letting the incoming guys know, hey, you know, this is what it takes to get here. You know, you feel like they're going to step up and take the leadership roles that, like, Marvell Harris and other players were filling last year. You feel like they have the ability to step up and take that leadership role?
I do. I absolutely do. Paul Watson's been in our program now. This will be his fourth year, you know, and he's played, you know, significant minutes over the course of his career, and, you know, it has been the case for Karachi Ito. You know, Cullen is going to be a senior next year as a junior college guy, but, you know, played significant minutes a year ago. Terrell Carter's in his third year in our program. You know, Jerron's in his first year playing, second year as well, you know, having sat out this past year along with Deshaun. So we have older guys that have already had a chance to gain valuable experience. And I think with that, you know, they often, a lot of times, tend to have to be your leaders, especially early on. It's not to say that a young player can't emerge and be a leader as well.
Well, thank you for your time, Roddy Terry, and I appreciate it, and good luck to you in the 2016
thank
season.
Thank you so much, Kevin. Appreciate it.
That was Fresno State men's basketball coach Rodney Terry. Thanks again to our guests, Natalie Benson, Jamie White, and Rodney Terry, and of course our co-host, Fresno State's Director of Athletics, Jim Bartko, and Sports Report producer, Kevin Kirsten. Thank you for joining us this morning, and please join us again next Saturday at 8:30 a.m. for the Fresno State Sports Report on KFSR. We're on the air at 90.7 FM and streaming worldwide at www.kfsr.org.
KFSR presents the Fresno State Sports Report every Saturday morning at 8:30. For complete program schedule, visit kfsr.org.